When you look into my glory. Now, we've just been, this is our second Sunday on this. And I would think already, you know a little bit more about God. Now, how many has been in church for a long time, or in and around church, or had a Bible for a long time? But could you say that from just a couple of weeks ago, you got some more incredible information about God? Now, think about this. Remember the prophecy, when you look into my glory, you can't understand. How can you look into his glory when you haven't studied about God? You're going to only go as far as your understanding. When you think about God, like I just shared with you in these videos, I did that so you can get your mind, so you show something, and you start to get your mind wrapped around how incredible God is. And what happens is wherever we set God, wherever he's set, that's the limitations preset that we've put on him when it comes to answering our prayers. How many want your prayers answered? You want your prayers answered? You got to have a God bigger than your problems. If he ain't bigger than your problems, they won't get answered. You understand that? What I'm going to do in this series, by the grace of God, is show you how incredible God is. And what the world's tried to do is tried to bring God down to something else. Tried to humanize God. What happens if I humanize God? I reduce him down on a plane that I'm equal to. And I have limitations. Anybody else in here have limitations? You can always check your limitations. If I ask anybody to go outside on that side of the building and I want you to jump over this building, land on that side, who could do it? Nobody in here. You know why? You're limited. You're very limited. Man is limited. But God, he has no limits. That's what you got to get that in. Because when you go to God in prayer, by the way, let me just throw this in here. Jesus said, the time is coming that you'll ask me nothing. I want you to get this. You'll ask of me nothing, but you'll ask the Father in my name. What does that tell you? It tells me that we got to be careful when we pray that we're not praying to Jesus. You mean we can't pray to Jesus? I'm just going to tell you what Jesus said. He said, You will ask me nothing. I don't know what part of nothing we can't get squared away. But then he said, but you will ask my Father in my name. Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah, so we better start practicing that. You want to get your prayers answered, you better ask the one who has no limits. No limits. Let me give you another one. And I'll give you these verses of scripture next time we're here. These are little things that the Lord deals with me as when I come up here, and I may not have a slide for them, I just got to say it. I have one for this, but it's further down in the study. God is not a man. I don't think that even needs me to fix it. They don't need fixing. God, in the book of Numbers, he said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man to repent of anything. How many clear on that, that God is not a man? Amen. Now I want you to think about man can't figure out all this stuff. We got enough, hard enough time just figuring out what we got going on in our little world. And it's little when we look at it. Even if your whole world, if your whole world as a person included the whole world, the earth, it would still be small. But guess what? Our little world don't include the whole earth. It's just kind of in our sphere, our little realm. We're here, right here on this peninsula. When you compare it to how incredible God is, I want you to get this understanding. When you look into my glory, he said, you'll be instantly changed. Does that make more sense to you now? When you look into his glory, God's glory, you'll be instantly changed. The scientists have agreed. Not all of them, because some of them won't ever agree. But that's the same problem in church. Not everybody agreed with Jesus, but he was right. Just because somebody disagreed with Jesus didn't make Jesus wrong. How many understand that? And you don't have to agree with me. I'm just giving you information. The information is very clear that it had to be a mind for this stuff to happen. Listen, to the very smallest cell in your body, 100 trillion cells. Think about that. In your body, in one of them cells, there's language. Enough language to tell our scientists today something about you. And if they found a drop of your blood 10 miles from here, you were nowhere around, but they had a database of your information and they checked that blood, the DNA would say that blood belongs to Scott. How many of you know that they have that capability today? How is that? Because in that drop of blood, there's a language. My question is, who put it there? Who put that language in that drop of blood? A language. God, out of his mind, in his plan, did that. I want you to get this. You got to grab. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. So you got to get a bigger picture about God. When you go to praying, that's the one you're talking to. The one that stretched out the universe. Just, he slung the stars into place. Are y'all getting this? And out of his mind, he did all, in his mind, all that was done. Right? And then he started performing everything that he'd planned to do. That's why he says, from the beginning, wisdom was with me. Does that mean wisdom was a person? No, it's a personified statement. Scripture's full of personifications. And you got to understand when he personifies something, he does it so you and I get it. So we get a hold to it. And so it's very important. Very important that we understand that. So let's go through this. I'll do a quick review. Can't do all of these verses and talk about them all, but a quick review, I think we can slide that in. All right? We'll start, I'll go through as quickly as we can, reading these verses, and these are the ones you had last Sunday, and I got to get to where we need to start. So you ready? In Exodus 24, verse 17, and to the eyes of the sons of Israel, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like consuming fire on the mountaintop. I was looking at a documentary, and in that area, there's photographs of this area that he's talking about, on Mount Sinai where he visited them. You remember the Lord told Moses, he said, I'm going to come and speak to my people. Well, he started speaking, and the scripture said the mountain caught on fire. Hence, this is my picture. You see the backdrop of my picture. And then the people said, oh, please, God, don't let him speak no more. Moses, tell God, don't talk to... I mean, it was like lightning going up and down the mountain. Well, you know, if you go there today, in that mountain cluster, there's only one that's charred. Yeah, it's still charred. If you went to, you went over there and visited Israel, you'd still see that charred mountain. Everybody said, why that one's dark? Not like the rest of them. Oh, because that bee's the one. When God wasn't playing, and he said, well, let me just, I'm going to give you just a little bit. Just a little bit of my glory. And he starts speaking directly, and the people go, oh, you got to be Lord. And yet, we go and pray, and if, you know, if we feel like it. We go to church if we feel like it. If we got time, we'll do something for God. And he knows all of that. You want to know how he feels? You might ought to ask him. You ought to ask God, the way I act, the what I say, what I do, my relationship, what does it make you feel like, God? The fact that he wants me so bad that he gave his only son to die for me ought to be an indicator that the issue is not on God's side. The one that mapped out my DNA, listen, my DNA, my language, and my body is different than yours. And every person, you're not getting this. I mean, you're looking at me and you're kind of going like that. When did he start this? When he scratched up the dust from the ground. He wrote in the DNA. And he said, from this right here, every time the sperm leaves this body and enters the egg, I'll create another DNA with its own genetic code. And then I'll do another one. And he just kept doing that. We got living people on the planet. We got nearly 7 billion. Right now, living. I wonder how many has done perished since that time he set that first one in motion. Every single one of them, every one of them had their own digital code. And scientists say there's no way it could have just happened by chance. Matter cannot produce its own language. It had to come out of a mind. I like what the one scientist says. He said, it's not a thing. It's somebody. Somebody did this. Somebody worked this out. I'm telling you who that somebody is. That's the Almighty God that I get to talk to anytime I want. You think you this ought to make you want to talk to him as much as you can throughout the day. Every moment you feel like you got, rather than the way it was, I got to try to find some time to communicate with God because it's going to change. What's going to happen when all that changes? Your prayers will be answered. Jesus says, greater things than what I've done, you'll do. Anybody ready for greater? You ready for that? See, we only use this verse as time passed to excite the crowd. I don't want to just excite you today. I want to leave you with some information that will change your life forever. Your life will never be the same. Malachi 1, verse 6 through 10, a son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? If God's a father, where is his honor? And this is what he said. If I'm a master, where is my respect, says the Lord of hosts? And that's what I'm going to deal with this morning, the Lord of hosts. Let's go on down. I can tell already I'm not getting through none of these verses because I can preach them all over again and say something different every time. I'll start with go to slide 23. Lord of hosts, I want you to keep that in your mind. Who's got your Bible? You're about to be highlighting that verse, Lord of hosts. It's a little different than I pulled out of it. I talked about his honor, but I'm going to talk about the Lord of hosts. We're going to deal with that in extensively as much as we can today. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us how? In Christ Jesus. When did he do that? See, we think he did that when we figured it out and come to church. We're talking about God's plan here. Remember, we dealt with the plan of God last week. He did this in Christ before the world began. That is incredible to me. Before the world began. Look at the next one. In Titus 1:2, he says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie. Why can't he lie? Because he's not a what? He's not a man. I don't know why in the world we have followed Plato, the Greek philosophers, and we have convinced ourselves, all of us, for over 1,700 years, that somehow God is a man when he said, I'm not a man. But the Greeks constantly had in their writings that somehow God is man and man is God. And we followed right along that. The Nicene Creed in 325. Christ has already died. He's already rose again. And he's ascended to the Father. He's at God's own right hand. The church fathers got together. In 325, the Nicene Creed decided we need to get together. Over 300 bishops come together, and Constantine sat on his golden throne and his purple robe and his crown on his head. Who was Constantine? He was the emperor. He was revered as a god. They were gathered together in 325 A.D. And they were going to decide on who God is and who Jesus is. The 300 bishops went back and forth, on and on, and then at the end of their going back and forth, this is, and you can see this in history books. You can open your history books and read this. In one history book, Constantine has a 20-page section in there what he stood up to say. And I'll sum it up for you. He got up off of his throne. He walked over and he said, he never quoted Jesus. He never quoted Paul. He never quoted any Peter, James, John, Jude. He never quoted any verse of Scripture. He said, we owe this to Plato. When I'm reading that, there's an issue there. Who is Plato? I don't find him in the Scripture. You understand? But we owe this to Plato, how he was able to deliver to us how Jesus could be a God. And they decided that day, they voted that day, and said that there's God, and Jesus is very God, a very God, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. They're actually the same. They didn't decide on the Holy Spirit that day. They said, and we believe in the Holy Spirit at the end. That's the one little footnote at the bottom. 381. That's from 325 to 381. Constantinople, they met with more bishops. And in that meeting, they decided
for the first time in our history, Jesus already died, buried, and rose again. Revelation's been written. The Bible's the end. And they're deciding for the church. That's us. That's us. And on 381, they decided, we including the Holy Spirit, he is co-equal, very God of very gods. He's also God. And there started the Trinity. I'm wondering why we don't see it in the whole time of John, who wrote the Revelation. We don't see it in everything Peter said. We don't see it in anything that Paul wrote. You wonder why? Anybody have a question that? Why is it we done jumped onto something here and it all started through Greek philosophy? Listen to me careful. I've been on the water all my life. And many of you boatmen here, you've been on the water. If you going a long distance, a few times I went on a long distance trip, meaning it took me from the time I left land to the time I saw land again, it was hours. It wasn't a few minutes. So I'm traveling in open water for a long time. And I learned something in being educated, being around it, that you got to check your course often when you're on a trip like that. You don't check courses when you're going in the river and you see a tower and you're running toward the tower. You don't have to check anything because you can, in your visible sight, you can see where you're going. But if you're in open water and you're running and all you see is water and you run an hour and you look around and you still see water and you run another hour and you still see water, you better check your course. I'm convinced that what the church has done for a long time is we've been running and we've been off a few degrees. And if you run off a few degrees, just 1 degree for a long period of time, you won't get where you're going. Does everybody understand that? You're not going to get there. 1 degree off over a long period of time, you can be way off. I'm convinced that's where the church is. We got off on some Platonic philosophy, and we hadn't corrected that. We hadn't checked it with the Word. Well, I'm here to tell you, when the Lord dealt with me about looking into His glory, I started checking what I taught by the Word. And I found out that I was off some degrees. And you got to straighten that back up. And then you go a little longer, you got to check your message. The Bible says that Paul, he returned back where he had taught and preached. He returned back. And what did it say? He checked his message to see that what he was preaching was correct with the Word of God. Even Paul checked his message. We ain't checking our message. We just do what everybody else has done before us. We say what they say, and we believe what they believe, and we send it on to the next generation, and they're doing the same thing. Well, I'm telling you, God is not enough for God. When you look into His glory, He says, you can't check yourself. Folks will go around saying, well, if God wanted folks to know it, He'd have let them know it. I'm just wondering how many times He tried to grab somebody's shoulder and shake them and wake them and give them dreams, visions, and all that stuff, but you can get so set on what somebody else said, you won't go back. Listen, you got to get hungry for God to go back and check. Nobody wants to go back. So I want you to keep that in mind. Keep that in mind because it's very important that we understand that. Now, there's so much more. I want you to be patient with me as I go through this because I just opened up something here. And I can assure you, I have service after service that I can teach very long on those subjects alone. I just wanted to throw that out there so you can be thinking. I want you to think. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised. When did He promise it? Before the world began. I want you to see that. Psalms 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. How were they made? By the word of the Lord, by His mouth, God spoke these things. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host. Everybody say host. I want you to get that, because we're going to be talking about the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. Get that. And all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. By the breath of his mouth. The next one, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. How many want that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I said we'd start kind of right here. We want to get this. We talked about, we gave you a few things and broke them down talking about God's glory. But I want you to think about this one right here. God's glory is underived. God's glory is underived. It eternally existed. It eternally existed. Brother Josh brought up a point about when Moses says, who shall I say sends me? And he says, I am that I am. That makes more sense to me now. He said, I am the eternal one. I am Yahweh. From then on, from that moment on, he went on and says, he said, I am the Lord God. The Lord God. I mean, he got NSAB Bible. NSAB Bible, or King James Bible. You take those Bibles and you start going through the Bible and start marking down what you highlight is every time you see the Lord God. Every time you see the Lord God, I want you to mark it. The Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God. That'll be a big help to you. You're going to see it's going to benefit you. It's going to help you as you see that because he's dealing with that subject. And it's very important that we understand that. The originator. How many of you know we know the originator? The source. The first cause of all existence is God in all his glory. Of all existence, God alone is uncaused. Wow. Without a beginning. Before God created the universe, he existed alone. God is the first cause of the universe. So God, here's God. He exists alone, and then he spoke the worlds into existence. And he didn't just speak them. These things, they have great details. You know, you understand when God says, let there be light, and there was light. Do you know when he says for light to come to fruition, in his plan, he had to put all the details that would cause light to exist. I don't know if y'all getting this. When he said, let us make man, he didn't just start, okay, we're going to start, let's see what we'll do. I don't know, grab that dirt looks good. And, yeah, that dirt. No, he already had every detail down to every cell and the DNA language in every, he had it already done. He was just putting it together. Do you understand that? We're talking about the Lord of hosts here. The Lord of hosts. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Psalms 24. Psalms verse 24. The earth is the Lord's, and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the sea. And established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hills of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy places? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood. I mean, you know, we got to get rid of the falsehood. I'm going to read that again. Who may ascend into the hills of the Lord? Anybody ready to ascend to the hills of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. Verse 5. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who do what? Seek him. Who seek your face, even Jacob, Salah. Verse 7, lift up your heads, O gates. You see that? Lift up your, see, he's personifying what? What is he personifying? A gate. Gates don't have heads. I don't know if you noticed that. But he's personifying the gate. For what? So he can get us to give a message here. He said, this is important for you to get. So lift up your head, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors. Notice that, O ancient doors. The word also could be everlasting doors. Why you got to do that? I'm just wondering why the gate has to lift its head and the ancient or everlasting doors have to be lifted up. That the King of glory may come in. Woo! Lift up your head, O gates. Lift up everlasting doors. Why do we need that? Why do we need everlasting doors? Because we're talking about, watch this, the King of glory comes in. Not just any door. Not just any door. Watch what he says, verse 8. Who is the King of glory? Is anybody ready to learn something here? Who is the King of glory? I'll tell you who he is. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Just to give you a couple of them. Isn't that incredible? Who is the King of glory? Listen, when you're praying, next time you're praying, you ought to try this. And something's, you need a miracle from God. You're talking to the King of glory. And you got to ask that question when you're praying. You say, who is the King of glory? I'll tell you who he is. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty and bad. You got to know who he is. You got to put his stamp on it. It's got to be done. Do you understand that? Very important. And we got to grab hold to this. Then he says in verse 9, you ready for this? Lift up your head, O gates. He repeats it. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. He asked the question again. Who is the King of glory? Who? Is this helping you? Who is the King of glory? You ready? The Lord of hosts. Now I'm about to explain that to you. He is the King of glory. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. Everybody say host. It's got an, does it have an S on it? You see that? Keep that in your mind. You know why it's got an S on the Lord of hosts? You know why it's, he's trying to get us to get a picture. Is he limited to one thing? Is God limited to one thing? He's not limited to anything. Do you understand that? He's no limits. The Lord of hosts is the Lord of armies. He's the Lord of angelic hosts. He's the Lord of everything he created, that host, the host of the stars, of the you got to understand, how does David get the power he gets? I don't know if y'all getting it. How does David get the power that he gets? He said this. He said, listen to me. Let me read this to you. I'm going to come back. Just hold that. Jeremiah 10:12. It is he who had made the earth by his. How did he make it? It is he. Talking about God, the Almighty, the Father, Yahweh. It is he that had made the earth by his power. Who established the world by his wisdom and by his understanding, he stretched out the heavens. Did he just do it because he felt by his understanding? planned already by his understanding of what he'd already planned. He stretched out the heavens. Everything, when he did like that, stretched out the heavens, and it all went right because it already was worked out in every minute detail down to the atom. To the atom. How much energy we can get out of one average tree if we could, what God put in there. It's in there, but we don't know how to get it out of it. We can get some of the energy out, but not all of it. So we cut the tree down, right? Cut the tree down is what we know. And we cut it in blocks, and we put it in our fire, and what does it produce? It produces energy. We get energy out of it. But we're only going to be limited to the energy we can get. Scientists know that the energy in one tree, the energy God put in it ahead of time, before the tree even grew, before he said, let the trees come forth in the garden, he had already put that energy in them. It's already in that plant. Do you understand that? That if we could harness the energy from one tree. Do you remember the video? Is that power or what? 1 second of the energy of the sun. 1 second. If we had 1 million cities producing energy. Do you understand that? 1 second we could produce the energy for all of that. For a long time. I want you to get your mind wrapped around this stuff. Keep that host in your mind now, because we almost there. Revelations 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God. That's one I've given you so you can mark that one. Who said that? The Lord God did. Who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Who has a King James Version? Who's got one King James Version? You got it? I bet you that verse is in red. Go to that verse. Who else has got a King James Version? Look at your King James Version in Revelations 1:8. Is it in red? What is the writers of the ones who produced the King James Bible say that when they put something in red, they say that that is who? They're wrong. I don't know how they missed that. It just says it in there, the Lord God. It's kind of... Because they were Trinitarian. The ones who produced that Bible, and I don't mean this in any way to hurt anybody, but they were Trinitarian throughout the King James Bible, and I love the King James Bible. I grew up on the King James Bible. I cut my teeth on the King James Bible. I still use my King James Bible. But there's corrections that must be made. One of those corrections is they were biased in translating in many areas of the King James by putting in things that were more leaning toward Trinitarian understanding. So I wanted to throw that in there. That should not be written in red. That is not Jesus. I am Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God. That's plain and simple. Says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come. And who is he? The Almighty. You want to make sure you make a note of that. Jesus was never, ever, ever was Jesus declared Almighty God. You'll see that. You can go and find, you'll find one verse in your King James Bible, but there's a correction there also. And so I want you to understand that, okay? Keep that in mind. Now again, I have time. Later on, as we're going through this series, I could deal with each one of them subjects in a whole service. This is just, I come across it, I got to deliver that to you. Hebrews 3:4. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is who? The builder of all things is God. I want you to grab hold to that. Get that in your mind. God built everything. Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens are telling of the what? Glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. And so we see this going over and over and over. We see this. Psalms 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, or thou didst give birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Is this helping you? Acts 4, verse 24. When they had heard this, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Who did they lift their voice up to? Did Jesus already come, die, and was at the right hand of the Father? Why didn't they lift their voice up to Jesus? This is the apostles. Why didn't they lift their voice up to Jesus? Listen to me. Go through your New Testament. Everybody take some time this week. Go through your New Testament Bible. From the time Jesus ascended, you're not going to find one time where they prayed to Jesus. They did a lot of praying, too. You won't find one reference that they prayed to Jesus. Who'd they lift their voice up to? God. Did they do it in Jesus' name? Yes. But they didn't pray to Jesus. Because he said, in that time you'll ask me nothing. They was obedient. We better keep... Oh, somebody said, well, it really don't matter. Yeah, it don't matter if they're the same. You're right. If they're the same, if Jesus is God and God is Jesus and they co-equal, co-eternal, it doesn't really matter, does it? That's what Plato wants you to think. Jesus said it matters. You read all of Paul's prayers. He had a lot of praying went on. He always prayed to the Father. When he addressed the church, he came to him. He said, I come to you in the name and God, from the, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it because that name had to be represented. But every address that he made was also always to the Father. So keep that in mind. This is what they said in one accord. O Lord, it is thou that didst make the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. What they were giving glory to is because they had captured them and questioned them and threatened them. And then they explained the word to them and they sent them away. And the people were so excited, so thrilled that they had got loose. They lifted up their voice and give praise to God. Isaiah 14, verse 26. This is the plan devised against the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out against all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has planned. Who can frustrate it? Who planned? I'm just asking. Who got the plan together? The Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has planned. The Lord of hosts has planned. Who can frustrate it? And as for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back? Do y'all see this? Let me tell you, this gets rid of your fears. What? Why do I got to get rid of fears? Because fear and faith can't coexist. One's going to outdo the other. So if you're going to have fear over something, and you believe in God for a miracle, and you're fearful, it won't happen. You got to get the word in you. Just fear just goes out. You know why? Let me tell you why fear goes out. If I had some fear, I start reading this, and he says, who can frustrate it? No one. And as it's stretched out hand, who can turn it back? Who can say, well, we change our mind. We don't want God to do all that. He said, nobody can turn this back. It's my stretched out hand. This is what's happening. And so we're going to keep that in mind. So I want you to just put this next one up here. I'll read the next one. And I want you to hold on to your seat. You might want to buckle up about right now. Go to one. There you go. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. How many see that? Then David said, let me set the scene first. This scene got to get set. The Philistines had come up against Israel. The Bible says that one army was on one side of the mountain and the other one on the other, and a valley in between. And then, certain time of the day, the Philistines had a giant named Goliath. He stood over 9 feet tall. He had a beaver's wing for a beam. A spear stick. It was over 10 feet long. The spearhead weighed over 15 pounds. His coat of mail over his clothes weighed 125 pounds. I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. You got to go and just figure out when it says so many pounds of shekels. I went and done it all. So I want you to get a picture. This guy's over 9 feet tall. A real person. We're going to deal with that some point in this whole series. He's got a helmet. He's got a shield that men have to carry. Not a man, men. He has to have carriers. He's got this spear with a 15-pound head on it. Anybody understand that weight distribution? You got to be a big man to even handle a beam. The beam itself was 2.5 inches in diameter. Can everybody get your mind around 2.5 inches? I want you to ask this question. If I gave something 2.5 inches around, could your fingers touch the other side? Anybody in here? Maybe a basketball player, they would be pretty hard pressed. You understand my point? Is everybody getting this? That was everyday grabbing for this man. From his youth, he was trained to be a warrior. And he come out one day and he said, "Listen, here's the deal. We don't like y'all. Y'all don't like us. I'm going to just give it to you in my terms. You can go back and read the whole account. I've read it over and over. We're just letting you know here's going to be the way it's going to happen. You send me out somebody to fight me. And if I lose, all of the Philistines will bow down and worship you. But if we win, all of Israel got to bow down and worship us." Well, they knew, man, they looking around the camp. The biggest guy there is King Saul. And he ain't coming out that tent. And all the rest of them, they tremble. And the scripture said they were fearful. They were shaking. Until one day, this little boy named David, he come by to visit. Occasionally, he would do that. The Bible said he'd go back and forth from the battle to tend the sheep, from the battle to because he had it in him. I'm getting to you. How could something he tapped into, and when he needed it, it come on him? I'm just wanting to know if anybody is ready for it to come on you. You said, "When do I need?" You see, you need it to come on you when you need it. And I'm okay with that. But I don't want to have a need for it and then nothing comes. That's been the problem with the church world today. That's why we got all these fakes going around talking about this is happening. I was going to show you all these videos, but you're just going to have to. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you understand. There's a lot of fake going around. Folk talking about we done healed this many people, send us your money type things. Let me tell you, God has had enough of all that junk. And if you've been watching that, you need to turn it off, because I can tell you the only thing it's going to do is mislead you. You don't show me God in none of that stuff. David come along and he said, "What's going on?" Talking to his brothers. And he said, "Man, you don't need to know about this. This is military stuff. Go back. You left the few sheep we got?" That's what they told him. They worried about the few sheep. David's there saying, "What's going on? Who's that out there? That's a big old guy." They said, "Well, he's defied the armies of the living God. He's been cussing us, and he's been carrying on for 40 days. That's how long he went on, 40 days. And David said, "Well, what's the deal?" He said, "Well, we hear tell in the camp, the king said, whoever's brave enough to go out there, he's going to make him a rich man and give him his daughter." Well, that wasn't so impressive to David. He didn't care about riches. He didn't care about no daughter. What he cared about was, did he say something about God? Did I hear somebody told me he said something about God? Oh, he don't know. He has no idea. He don't know what's going on. So he said, "I'll go." And they said, "Man, you don't understand. This guy's been fighting since he's a little boy. You just a boy. You know what that means? He's been doing this, you just starting. Here's the thing about starting. Depends who you start with. Who you starting with, that's what matters. I'm saying we got to get ourselves back in line and start with the Word of God. We got to start with what God said. And if we'll do that, it's going to be amazing what happens. So Saul calls him in there and says, okay, if you want to go, we need somebody. We ain't got nobody. We got a whole army. We ain't got nobody. All of our biggest and best is out there, and they're all shaking. If you want to go, put all this stuff on. He puts it on. It's weights. These things ain't tested. I don't want that. I got what I need. So what does he have? The Bible says he has a stick in his hand and a sling, and he gets 5 smooth stones. I know you might think right now you're in children's church, but that's okay. Sometimes we got to humble ourselves like little children and get the message again. He got a stick. So he gets out there, and Goliath says, what are y'all doing? Y'all think I'm joking? Y'all going to look at this pitiful boy, y'all said. He said, you think I'm a dog that you come at me with a stick? You know, I'm just trying to figure out, David, what's going on in his mind. You know, he's like, man, I'm just holding this stick. You have no idea what's about to happen to you. So now we got to rewind a little bit. Saul says in the camp before he sends him out, he says, you can't go out there. He said, you don't understand. I was tending the sheep one time, and a lion came and took the sheep, and something came on me. It had to. It had to. Because there ain't nobody in their own mind, not to mention right mind, is going to go grab a lion by the beard and take the sheep out his mouth and beat him down. Especially if you're a kid. But I'm saying I've got a different picture now. I think the Lord of hosts come on him. And he felt like Superman. And he just went over there and snatched him up a lion, beat him down, got his sheep back. And then he says, Saul, there was another time a bear came at me. We're not talking about these pet animals here. He said, a lion and a bear. And he said, I done the same thing to him. I don't know what it is, but he said, it just got under my skin. Just made me mad. They're trying to take this stuff, this God stuff. And he said, so I just went and snatched him up. Now, he wasn't telling tall tales. Because he said, that same feeling that come on me, I can feel it's coming on me again. And so David said to the Philistine after he said, what am I, dog? You come at me with a stick? He said, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. So David's perception, Goliath says, you come at me with a stick. He said, I'm going to kill you and feed your flesh to the birds and to the wild beasts. That's what Goliath told David. So David replies. Then David said, that's why it hints, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But you missed something, Goliath. But I come to you. He missed that. He's looking at the stick. He missed it. Goliath missed it. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Now, we got to stop right there for a minute, because now we know what host means. Host is the guy that started putting it all together. Host is everything God is. Are y'all getting this? So if there's an army that God sets up, is that part of his host? What about a bunch of angels? Is that part of his host? You ready for this? What about a universe? David got a hold to the glory. He got a hold to the glory. And that's why God said this about David. That's a man after my own heart. That's what God said about him. God said that. So he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. King James says defied. I said, that's what I'm coming at you with. Are y'all getting this? I'll put the next one up. There's the text for it, I think. Write it down. You can read it when you get home. We're not going to read all of those verses, but I want you to read it. 1 Samuel 17:45-51. That's something for you to look at. Now, I want you to understand this. We're talking about the Lord of hosts. So we can talk in big terms, right? Armies, angelic hosts, people, universe. But then we got to reduce it. We got to keep going. We can't stop. We got to go. David says, you don't understand. The one, I come to you in the name of the one who put the language in the DNA. Do you get this? When you start praying, that's the one you're praying to. So don't say, God, if you feel like it, you're praying to the one who mapped the language in the DNA of all the cells in your body. That's the one you're coming with. That's power. That's power. So what he did, he got all the power of God. When he grabbed that lion, nobody snatches up lions. Nobody's snatching up bears, not young people. You understand what I'm saying? But he did it. He didn't go snatching them up. The Bible says he grabbed him by the hand, beard, and baya! Something got on him. Maybe you ain't seen this. We've been reading David for a while now. We've been shopping around David and Goliath since I can remember. I remember my Sunday school teacher telling me, man, I wish that day she'd have said, he got it by belly. I might have shouted. You got to understand that. Why does God say that? Why does he want us to know about him? Because he wants to arm you with a promise. I don't know if you got that. He wants to arm you with a promise. See, if he arms you with a promise, something's about to change. Yes. David was armed with a promise. He didn't go in there. He wasn't acting all, I'm a rebel. He wasn't acting that way. He was armed with a promise. He knew who he believed in. And he went out there and things happened. So he comes. Goliath comes at him. I said, we're not going to read. I got to go read this part. I got to. Man, how in the world? I'm running out of time here. How many, anybody there? I don't have a slide for, so you have to go there. I got to just read this part right here. Verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands. I will strike you down, remove your head from you, and I will give it. I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Do you see that? And that all this assembly may know. Who's the assembly he's talking to? Remember the ones over there doing that? Some we need somebody. But let me tell you, their view of God was different. We got folks that sit in church and your view of God's different. So something happens, a crisis comes, you get bad news, and you get to like, listen, your view of God's got to change. He said, this is going to happen so all the assembly may know. I want my view of God to be different than it's been. Listen, I look back in my life and I realize some things. There's some things that went right by me and only the grace of God can bring it back to me. And I missed it because my view of God was this big. I went through some heartache and some trouble and some situations that I didn't have to go through because my view of God was too small. I couldn't get myself out, and when I went for help, there was nobody around who could help me get out because our whole view of God was wrong. We gotta straighten up. We've been off. I want to tell you this. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. One Lord. I can tell you one thing David wasn't doing. He wasn't playing with numbers in his mind. He wasn't trying to figure it out who to pray to. He knew whom he believed in. There was but one God of Israel. And that God is going to show up for me in a big way today. See, he had his view of God different. Is this helping anybody? So he says that all the assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Notice what he said. They'll see it. They'll see it. Listen, here's what I love about the Lord. Just because you can't afford it don't mean it's restricted from you. Some folk think folks are blessed more than them because they got the money to buy it. I want to tell you, you have a God that can provide it. Is anybody here? You got somebody who can provide it, but we got to get our view of God bigger. We got him way too small. And so he said, I want the assembly to know that God didn't deliver because I was strong as Goliath. He didn't deliver because my spear was equal in weight. Do y'all get this? I don't know if you got that one. I read this is what I got because I asked the Lord, reveal yourself to me in your word. He didn't have a sword equal in weight. They weren't on the same playing field. They weren't tit for tat. They weren't equals. But I wanted the assembly to know I didn't come out here to be equal. I might just be a little boy. I might just be a small thing. But one thing I know who my God is. That's the one we want doing for us, what needs to be done. Our God. Our God. How many want your God to, well, when you pray to the Father, your God, you want God on the scene. You need a miracle, you want God on the scene. And this is in no way to diminish our amazing, wonderful, incredible Lord Jesus. Because we can't even get to the Father but through him. See, you're not diminishing that, but Jesus played a role. And he said he played a role. And he's still waiting. Yes, he's waiting. The Bible says he's expecting. That's what it says. Jesus right now is expecting. What is he expecting? He's expecting till his enemy makes footstool. What is God expecting? I don't know if y'all got that. What is God expecting? Absolutely nothing. How can you expect for something when you are everything? The Bible says Jesus is expecting. That means he doesn't have it yet, but he's going to get it. He's armed with a promise. Are y'all getting being armed with a promise? Maybe I can help you out with this. John 9. There was a blind man. Came to Jesus. And Jesus took a little spit and clay. And he put mud on his face. And he said, go down to the pool of Siloam. and wash your face there, and you'll see. Anybody ever have mud on your face? You got bad news, that's mud on your face. Stuff ain't working for you, that's mud on your face. Seem like every time I try, they just throw mud on my face. I want to just tell you, mud on your face and on with the promise is not too bad. There's a song that I had to get some information. I had to be schooled in this. I figured anyone that can school me in it would be Brother Chad. He was out there. So I asked him, I said, you remember there used to be a group, because I heard this at football games, mud on your face, you big disgrace. Anybody ever hear that? Well, I didn't know who sang it. He said, oh, brother, that's a bad group there. That's Queen. He said, that's Bam Doozle. Oh, you know. I said, well, I ain't interested in that. I just want you to know that that song saying, you got mud on your face, you're a big disgrace. That's from the devil. So I want to tell you this. Here's a blind man. He's got to walk from where Jesus put the mud on. Sometimes that mud got there for a reason. And he got to walk to the pool of Siloam, and they got people going to see him. And they're saying, you got mud on your face. You're a big disgrace. He said, that's all right. I'm armed with a promise. I'm armed with a promise. I don't care what you think about me. He said, if I get to the pool and I wash my face, I'm going to see. So listen, you tell a blind man, if he gets the mud washed off, listen, sometimes it's okay to have mud on your face. And no matter what somebody says about you, God has armed you with a promise. And that day, in a sense, the way Goliath looked at David, you got mud on your face, son. You don't even know how to clean up. What is this? I'm a dog. You come at me with a stick? Look at you. You look pitiful. Man, I don't even have to break a sweat up. So anyway, obviously, he started seeing something different. Because we read something here. Verse 48, then it happened. When the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David. So he figured, okay, this is nothing. That's what I like right here. You ready for this? Then David ran quickly. He ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. I want to tell you, there's a battle line. It's over there. That's the battle line. And over here is where you got the mud on your face. Right here, there ain't no miracle. And standing on that side of the battle line is the biggest giant you've ever seen in your life. And I like what David did. He ran quickly. He took off running quickly. He already had it set. The Lord of hosts. Do you understand that? Your view of God is going to tell you how quick you'll run. You know, this is how we do with God. We start praying, believing God for something, and we kind of go a little bit, and then we go back like here, and we go, and we, you know, we want to, but, and as we spend our life doing this, is he going to or not? Can he deliver you or not? Is God big enough or not? To David, it didn't matter how big Goliath was. It didn't matter the size of his sword. And he's got this javelin between the shoulder blades. You think it mattered? That's pretty intimidating. That's intimidating. You ever been intimidated? You might not have the news you want. It intimidates you. Stuff breaks. You get intimidated. And you go, and that's what we'll do. We say, we start questioning right here. God, I'm trying to serve you. And then your view of God just gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Is he big or is he not? He ran quickly toward the battle line. There was a battle line. And he was going to hit that mark. You know, in the process, some things begin to happen for him. He meets them, and David put his hand into his bag. I can see him now. He put his hand into his bag, and he took from the it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his head, forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. He fell on his face to the ground. Listen, I like my story about the man, the blind man with mud on his face. Sometimes that's just, and that's, we're talking about Jesus. Could Jesus just said healed? Boom, go, get on, go start seeing. He could have. He's Jesus. All authority and power was given to Jesus. Let me tell you why Jesus performed miracles. Did he perform them because he was God? No. Listen to me. I think he had a view of God. I don't know if y'all getting this stuff. I think Jesus' view of God was perfect. He knew God down to the very cell in his own body. Jesus was a man born of a virgin. And in his DNA, in the DNA of Jesus, it was something special about that DNA. And that was in the plan of God because he said he did it before the world came into existence. He put a different DNA and did. Listen to me. The chain of sin passed through the Father. The Bible says it's because of one man, sin entered. And it was passed on from that one man to every other man. Y'all ready for this? He said, I'm going to send another man. He's going to be the last Adam. And I'm going to have a special DNA in him. That DNA, it's got cleansing power. It's written in his DNA. It's written in there. I've coded it in there. It's got its own language. It's not like anybody else. Therefore, that's what the angel Gabriel said. He said it's going to be something amazing. And he says, therefore, or he means this. He says, for this reason. Because of his deed, for this reason, he shall be called the Son of God. Is that incredible or what? It's incredible. And so I want you to understand that the Pool of Siloam represents the battle line. You're armed with the promise. Are not the promises of God, yea and amen? Do you believe the word of God? Do you really believe it? We ought to start practicing something a little different in our life. I know I'm going a little over, and I apologize for it. But I just want to make this clear to you. Listen to me. We have gotten in such a habit that when something happens, we have already a preset way that we handle that situation. And most of the time, it's not going to God. We better change that. If you find yourself in a financial crisis, you find yourself in a physical crisis, you find yourself in any crisis at all, we better get going to God. Because let me tell you who's the one that's able to get you out of all the crisis you'll ever get in, God. God will get you out of them. He's a miracle worker. He'll perform that for you. So I want to ask you something. Let's stand. Let everybody stand. And listen to me. This won't take us long. It's very simple. I'm going to stop. I don't know. We'll find a start place next week on this. But I want you to understand this. When you look at it in comparison, the odds don't look so good. I know you're looking at it. Don't look like it. Nothing adds up. Nothing working. Let me tell you something. He's a big God. I would start praying. I would start seeking the Lord. I would start saying, God, reveal yourself to me. You're nothing too hard for you, God. You might feel like you got mud on your face this morning, but I want to tell you the Pool of Siloam's over there. The Pool of Siloam. That means there's something you got to do. Jesus could have healed him on the spot. There's no doubt whatsoever. We've seen the power that Jesus possessed. He could have healed him right then and there. But he put spit and clay and put it on his face. And he made him look like an oddball. He's walking around and everybody's going, isn't that beggar? Boy, he looked pitiful today. I seen him the other day, he couldn't see, but at least his face was clean. Today he got mud all over his face. I mean, he got mud smeared all over him. So I wonder if somebody came up to him and said, "Hey, beggar, what are you doing with mud on your face?" He said, "Leave me alone. I'm armed with a promise." What are you doing? Leave me alone. I'm armed with a promise. You don't understand. I'm headed to the pool. Because at that pool, I got a miracle waiting on me. I want to tell you, some of you today, you got a miracle waiting on you. You just got to get your view of God bigger.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, God does miracles today.
Yes, he does.
He's a miracle worker. He never quit doing miracles. We have left that. And we need to, because let me tell you why people's kind of shunned away from that, because of all the junk that's out there. But don't let that stuff sidetrack you for who God really is. Does anybody here need a miracle? You need a miracle from God? You got to be willing to go the way God wants it to happen. Listen, let me tell you about God. At day 39, God could have just done like that and knocked Goliath down and been dead man. He didn't. He waiting for somebody to raise up. I know I got me somebody. I got a whole army. I got somebody. I know I got me somebody. And that's what he does. He sets it before our lives. Every one of those men in that army had a choice to make, and they made it. Every one of them. We don't see that God done away with them, but they all learned a lesson that day. He said, "I want the whole assembly to know that God don't deliver by the sword and the spear. It ain't tit for tat. Don't go around saying, oh, if I had the money they had, I wouldn't be in the shape. You better let that go. You ain't depending on their money, and you ain't depending on the money you wish you had. What I want is Almighty God to become real to me. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed." And I pray you can tell the difference. Because I can't come up here. Listen, I pray that you tell the difference. There's something changing in my life. Something God, he wants to change us. He wants to change everything about us. But you're hungry. You got to get hungry for God. And I've asked the Lord, "God, we ought to have demonstrations of your power." Where is that? We get so caught in what's happening around us in society, and we just get trapped by it. And our life is trapped by all of it. But I'm talking about a miracle worker. So I'm going to ask you, it's very simple. If you feel like you've had mud on your face for a while, and you trust God that he's armed you with a promise, I don't care how big it is. Your problem may seem over 9 feet tall. Listen, his coat of mail was 125 pounds. This was a huge man. Intimidating. But to David, when he compared, was he seeing through his own eyes? No. He wasn't seeing through his own eyes. He wasn't seeing through his own eyes when he snatched up a lion. He couldn't have been. If he was, he was an absolute nutcase. Nobody does that. But he was seeing through different eyes.
Hallelujah.
Oh my God, we got to get to seeing through those eyes. So very simple. You need a miracle. We're talking about miracles right now. Miracles. Can God do miracles? Absolutely can. I can say that. That's up to you to believe that. You got to trust God. You got to trust God for yourself. And let me tell you something, there's absolutely nothing that God can't do. I hope I proved that to you today. We're talking about the one who can put a language in your own DNA. Every one of you got to. And if we took that one drop, we could go to the, how many, 500 times? We can go back and forth, stacks of books, if we took the DNA, the language in that one drop. And God knows it all. He knows every language. Listen, stars? Stars? Are you kidding me? Stars? He knows them all by name. You mean he can't fix a problem? He can't get right now in your body and fix a problem? Are you kidding me? Now listen, here's my confession. I believe he can. What's your confession? Well, here we go. If you need a miracle, I don't care what kind it is. It don't matter what it is. All right? Don't matter what the miracle is. Here's the thing. And listen, you might not feel like you've been behaving like you should. That's good. I'm glad you feel that way. We ought to be convicted. I can't. Let me tell you this. Maybe this will help you. There's not been a time that I've ever went to pray that I didn't feel convicted about something. Because when I get in his presence, he said, no flesh can glory in my presence. I don't want to praise myself. I don't want to think I'm anything. I just want to humbly submit myself to the wonders of God. Because when I look at me compared to him, are you kidding me? So that's a natural thing. But listen to me. You might not have been behaving. Maybe you've been doing things what you shouldn't do. Maybe even you know better and you did it anyway. But here's what you have to do. You say, Father, I'm asking you to forgive me. And you said, I have an advocate with you. That advocate is your only son, your precious, only begotten, unique son. The Holy Spirit entered that womb. And there we had a brand new DNA. I don't know about you, but that's the DNA I'm under. I'm under that DNA. I'm under that blood. But I want you to do something by faith for me. Faith is why it's important to trust God. Faith is your ability to trust God for who he is. Is this being still recorded? Because if not, somebody needs to write that down. That needs to be written down. When you hear it, you listen back to this, I want you to write that statement down. How many want that? And then you live by that every day. Are you ready for this? We're talking about a God that can do anything and has done everything. There's no limits. No limits. So whatever you believe in God for, whatever it is, step out of your seat, come down here, and you just tell God, this is what I'm believing for. And I thank you for doing it for me in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is. I don't know what that is, but you know. And you got to trust him. Put it all on the line. Everything's on the line. Listen, we ought to be running quicker than that to the battle line. And then I forget, it's a battle line. Don't forget that. It's a battle line. But you win. It's a battle line. Thank you, Lord.